Hi, this is Mary, and welcome to my podcast, Mental State, where I dive into all things mental health and more. Today, my guest is Sadie Smith, who runs her practice called Crescendo Counseling, which focuses on the needs of queer, kinky, and polyamorous communities. And we are going to discuss the concept of deconstructing monogamy. So, Sadie, how did you get into this work, and what does deconstructing monogamy mean?
Yeah, most of my adult relationships have all been non-monogamous in some form or another. And I studied human rights and social work for my master's degree. And when it came time to writing my thesis and it had to be human rights related, I was like, okay, like, how do I use this as a way to support the communities that I come from? And so it just made sense to write about like the rights of different polyamorous families and like the rights of non-monogamous people within the family context. And so through that, really writing about how we as a culture, or many of our cultures, value monogamy and place most of the emphasis on like the monogamous relationship that you are in with whoever you choose, and saying this is the most important relationship, and then having the state supported by marriage. And when you get married, you get all kinds of benefits, like tax benefits, healthcare benefits, employment benefits, and different ways people benefit from being married because it's a state supported
right.
form of relationship. And so then it really makes no space for other types of relating, because the umbrella for non-monogamy is huge. There is so many other ways of relating than just being monogamous. And so a lot of the work that I do with folks, especially folks who are like non-monogamous or curious about non-monogamy or exploring kink or queer, because queer people have a rich history of forming family relations outside of like biological family.
Yeah.
Chosen family is huge. And chosen families are such a beautiful thing. And so a lot of the work we do is like deconstructing monogamy and like where people have gotten this view that like the monogamous relationship is the most important. And especially as people navigate into non-monogamy, they have to challenge some of these ideas and some of these notions to really be able to feel comfortable and fulfilled in non-monogamy.
Yeah.
And how do you help people who want to possibly go into this space of non-monogamy where, you know, in a monogamous situation, we tend to have a limited perspective on relationships. And so you may be going from a narrow perspective to widening, right? It's like we're taking this bird's eye view, maybe, of relationships, mm-hmm. pulling back literally and seeing like all of these different opportunities that we may have never experienced before. So how do you help people navigate that space?
So one of the first things we usually talk about is the relationships that person already has. So relationships to friends, relationships to family members, relationships to coworkers, relationships to counselors, therapists, neighbors, a relationship to themselves. So when we think about it like that we have all kinds of different relationships already, relationships to pets, whoever, we're already not really monogamous because we're already having lots of different relationships. We've just said the monogamous relationship is the person that you have sexual relationships with. Mm-hmm. So are we actually really monogamous when we look at it like, but we do have relationships with so many different people. And a relationship is just a way that we are in connection with another person. So why do we have to put so much emphasis on the one in which we have sexual relationships with and coming at it from that perspective?
It's interesting that you say that because like different people serve different parts of us, right? So
yeah.
The parts of me that are being fulfilled by some of my closer friend relationships may not be being fulfilled by my primary partner. But that's the person that I'm having a sexual relationship with. And how do you help people navigate wanting to have a sexual experience outside of their primary partnership. And I'm asking this because I think that, like, you may be an anomaly, maybe for people who are a little bit older and have only had monogamous relationships and now are wanting to explore something different. So how do you help? Because you say your personal experience, you're like, I've never been in a monogamous relationship. And so you already have that experience of this is what works for you. And this is your, maybe this is what's considered your like norm, for lack of a better term. But how, for people who they've only had monogamous relationships, how do you help people navigate stepping outside of that world?
Yeah. So the first things that we kind of work on is like building that relationship with ourselves. Mm-hmm. Because oftentimes, even in monogamy, you are told or encouraged that this person that you're having sexual relationships with, you are an extension of them. And that you are like their soulmate, maybe, that like you belong together. And so part of the work is, how do I really foster a deep connection with myself to understand like, what are my needs? Like, what are my wants? What are my desires? And is this person fulfilling those? And maybe they discover, oh, maybe this person isn't fulfilling all of those sexual pieces. Okay, what are those? What is intimacy for you? What do you expect from this partnership? What do you want from this partnership? In exploring other ways of relating to each other, to another person, what is it that you would like? Is it that you want to explore maybe having relationships with same-sex people, with where trans non-binary people? What is it that you want to explore? And then what is it that makes you feel safe and secure in relationships? And like, how do you attach in relationships? And discussing these pieces. And then maybe we start to say, okay, how do we then, if it's already a closed relationship, how do we begin to open it? What do those little steps into the non-monogamous water look like? What are you expecting to find? What are you hoping to find? What do you want to discover? So I think the first steps is just a lot of like self-work and building that relationship to the self, because we're so often told that relationship is not as important as your relationship to this other person.
And that we're bound to this other person in this very specific way because of even just how the whole like conventional marriage system works. It's, we know that this isn't realistic, but like it's till death do us part. And what came up for me about that is there can be many deaths in a relationship, right? But we're talking about the actual final breath. And when you were talking about this, what was coming up for me was that sex also looks very different in the beginning of the relationship to maybe 5 years in, 10 years in. And so maybe some of those needs aren't being met by the other person. And so I'm curious about when this person's my best friend, they're my everything, I can't imagine a life without them, yet they want to go and have sex with other people and their primary partner isn't open to that, or they're like, yeah, I know our sex life has changed, but we need to get ourselves back on track or back to where it was, even though we know that that's not realistic. I'm just curious, how do you help people navigate partners that may feel more resistant towards opening up the marriage?
The first thing is that within entering non-monogamy is that everybody in the relationship has to consent to it. Mm-hmm. Consent, honesty, vulnerability, and trust are like the cornerstones of going into non-monogamy, or of non-monogamy, right? And in monogamy, we often say, oh, till death do us part, we'll just have sex, the two of us, like that is our relationship. But cheating is also a function of monogamy. We wouldn't have cheating if we didn't have monogamy.
Right.
Because cheating is like the lie, the deceit of I'm now going to get my sexual gratification from somebody outside of this relationship because I need that for whatever reason. And then they don't talk about it. Right. And that's often what is like down the years later when the sexual needs, desires change. It's often when people start to cheat.
Mm.
And oftentimes men are just like, oh, he couldn't help himself. If we're talking about the gender bind, the stereotype is, oh, the men couldn't help himself. Like, it's okay for him to have done this. But if a woman, she's often, you are a bad person because you did this. So we have these gender norms around what does cheating mean? For women, it's you're a bad person. And for a man, it's, oh, you just couldn't handle yourself. You just got too excited or whatever it was. And so also thinking of cheating as being a function of monogamy and saying this could happen in the relationship, whether we want to consent or acknowledge it or not. So then in looking at non-monogamy, in a relationship opening up, it might be, what is it about opening up that scares you?
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes it's because this person could leave me for another person, which is often what we see with cheating is that happens. And then the other person goes and does a thing and leaves that relationship.
Or I was just going to say, or it highlights my deficiencies.
Or not even that it's your deficiencies, but that makes you feel deficient.
Right.
Oh, I wasn't good enough. So now this person has gone out and cheated on me. And so non-monogamy gives us a lens to really openly talk about these things, even though that they can be really hard and can be really scary, especially at first. It creates a space to talk about them. And then when we can talk about them, we can actually address the thing.
Mm-hmm.
And monogamy also gives us this sense of safety, this sense of security, because especially in marriage, like this person has said, we're together till death do us part. So we have this sense of, oh, this person is always going to be there because we are married, because we are monogamous, where non-monogamy takes that inherent safety away. So then we have to create safety based on other factors, of other parts of the relationship, instead of relying on its structure to create that safety. We have to create inherent safety, not based on the structure, but based off of what is actually going on between the people.
So I also was thinking about too, is I love that when we started this conversation, you were talking about how technically, if we have relationships outside of our primary relationship, regardless if it's a friendship or a work relationship, and whatever it is. And even in that way, I was thinking, we don't consider it cheating. But if I'm spending all of my time at work, or I'm spending all of my time with my friends and not my primary partner, like it's not cheating, but we are taking something away from that relationship, or we're not getting our needs met, maybe, or something is going on, some sort of dynamic is playing out where I'm feeling the need that I need to spend most of my time in another situation that isn't my situation in my home. And so I'm just curious if you see some of that in your working with clients.
I think that when we openly talk, like, I'm going to see my friends for these reasons or spending more time here because they're giving me this, that, or whatever, having open conversations about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a thing that non-monogamy really encourages and supports, is having open conversations about all of the things.
Yeah.
Where monogamy doesn't necessarily do that in the same way. And also, like, how much pressure is it to be everything for one person? That is so much to expect from a single person, for that person to just meet all of your needs all of the time, all of your wants, desires. Like, that's so much pressure.
Yeah.
And also impossible.
Yeah. 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 I always wonder about the couples that spend every single second together and do everything together. I'm like, wow, what is that like?
Yeah.
How do you find that all in one person? How do you help clients navigate societal stigma or judgment that they may encounter as they explore these non-traditional relationship dynamics?
Yeah. So I think, again, that comes from like really being able to zoom out and have a conversation of what are these like stigma or experiences you're having and where do they come from culturally? Because they're not a you problem. They're most likely a systemic problem. And this is where we'll often have conversations of what are the origins of marriage? Like, why did we have it? Oh, it was a tool to protect property.
Especially exactly.
In a time where like women were considered property.
And it's so antiquated.
But that history is there. And like talking about like that history and where those pieces of stereotypes or stigmas come from within society to say this really isn't a you problem, it's a cultural problem. And how do we really help you believe and feel that this is not a you problem, that this is a cultural situation or a systemic situation? And also providing and supporting resources where people can hear other stories of non-monogamous people or find other ways of connecting with other non-monogamous people to find a community to feel like, oh, they're not alone.
Yeah, I think that's so important. There's so much healing in community and support in community. And I love that you brought up the fact that marriage was about property and we're still continuing this. And it still is about property, right? So if you and I were in a relationship together and we're not married and something happens to one of us, we don't have any rights over the other person's property, right? We have to be married in order to have rights. And if we have kids and we get a divorce and we marry somebody else, that somebody else has more rights than the kids have. And so it's not even a bloodline thing, right? It's just, and so I think that it's so interesting and it's antiquated, and that even just is just what parts of me am I giving up in order to enter into this institution so that I'm protected by the government?
Yeah. Yeah. And like when you want divorce, you then have to ask the state for permission to no longer be in that relationship, which to me is just wild. This is why I think we need better ways of calling people family, especially when we think of chosen families. As a person who I've lost a lot of my biological family, chosen families are my people. Mm-hmm. And I have very limited tools to show that they are my people legally because we put so much emphasis on marriage and this relationship. We have sex with people.
And even the government controls how we can express ourselves through gender and sexually too.
Yeah. And that's also a piece that can be very freeing for folks in non-monogamy is the ability to have whatever kind of relationships with whatever kind of person they want.
Exactly.
And I think that's also a beautiful thing of the freedom of non-monogamy is gives one the ability to really build relationships or build connections based off of the people that are in those connections. As long as everybody who is connected to those connections is consenting to continue to be non-monogamous.
Right.
Yeah. And there's poly families where, at least in the cases in Ontario, where I know a poly child who has four parents on the birth certificate because of the way that their family is structured. Like they're actually able to say like, all of us are parents of this child who is growing up in a poly context. And to me, that's such a beautiful thing. Like it takes a village to raise a child.
Yeah.
And so here is the child now in a village of people where they have four parents. And then they have four sets of grandparents on all of those sides. Like, that what a community that is for that child.
Such a beautiful community. And the fact that there's so much communication around it, right? It's just such good modeling for the child and also creates this environment of safety, support, connection.
Yeah, because not one person can meet everybody's needs, especially when we're dealing with a child, because that's just so much work. Like props to the people who are able to do that as a single parent, like that would be wildly hard. But if a child can have a beautiful community because people are just able to build whatever relationships that they want and everybody is kind and caring, then that just creates such a nurturing environment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would be so interested to see moving forward any kind of long-term studies that are being done around these types of communities and the effects that they have on children growing up. I mean, it would be such an interesting topic to follow.
There is Dr. Elizabeth Sheff does a lot of research with non-monogamous families, particularly ones who are raising children. So I think her book called The Polyamorists Next Door. It does a long-term kind of research study working with different types of non-monogamous families. So there is this kind of information out there already.
Oh, good. Okay, I'll have to check out that book. I was just curious if you could share any personal anecdotes from your own work with clients that have had like a successful or positive outcome.
Well, I'm thinking of a couple of the people that I worked with, and for them, they really chose to open up to allow space for sexual exploration because of their, over time, their curiosities or sexual interests changed, and they wanted to explore having different types of sexual relations with different type of people outside of kind of their heteronormative relationship at the time. And working with them to really uncover what intimacy meant and how intimacy can really be built, not just sexually, but through like emotional connection, and really doing the work of this doesn't devalue the relationship that you have, but can really enhance the relationship because the other person is feeling more connected to themselves through being able to explore. And through their own exploration, that then gives more energy into this other, to the relationship that they have that they were working on. Because the other person is now feeling more autonomous and able to explore themselves for themselves in a way that they wanted to.
Mm-hmm. And then just even yourself being in this world, and I'm curious, when you do help somebody navigate this and you help them navigate it successfully, how do you feel around that?
I think it's really beautiful because for me, I don't really care what type of relationship someone chooses. Like if they decide to be non-monogamous, if they decide to be monogamous, whatever. For me, it's just the ability for them to really be able to see like the buffet of types of relationships and then to choose what actually feels really good for them, instead of just going to the defaults. And I think watching that like growth of them then being able to choose what feels good after exploring, after doing some of this like rewiring, deconstructing some of the things that they've learned and relearning how to be in connection with themselves and others, to then really make a choice that feels good for them instead of just relying on the defaults of what they've been told a relationship should look like or what relationships should look like, and really having the freedom to create what they want based off of the people that they are in connection with. I think it's just such a beautiful thing.
Yeah. Do you have any resources or support networks that you recommend for people who are interested in exploring non-monogamous relationships or even deconstructing monogamy in their own lives?
Yeah. So I would encourage folks to listen to podcasts on non-monogamy. Like this episode of a big podcast is called Multi-Amory, or reading books like Polysecure.
It's a great
book. There's also such a good book.
Yeah. Also gives such a good description of attachment styles, because I do use an attachment lens in my own work. And I'm so happy you mentioned that book. Because I'm just curious if you see, like in your work, what are some of the things that you see in terms of how attachment style affects choosing a non-monogamous relationship or deconstructing monogamy?
And that's where really becoming secure in the relationship with yourself, I think is so important. It's because then you can feel that security and safety there and can find out what that feels like. And then figure like, how are we attaching to different people? Because we attach differently to different people. Mm-hmm. Some we might have a secure attachment with. Some we might have anxious attachment to. And what I think is really helpful with this book, especially for people who might not come from like the mental health profession, is that it lays out attachment styles so clearly.
Yeah.
I had one of the people I work with recently was like, I read Polysecure and I was so confronted. And they're like, I think I'm this. I'm like, yeah, that sounds right. So now that you've learned this about yourself, like, what have you noticed? And then how can we, you know, and they're like, oh, I'm not so secure to this person, but I'm more secure to this person. And I'm like, and then we can explore. So sometimes doing a bit of education with people around how they attach so that they can say, oh, I'm feeling insecure in this relationship, maybe because of these reasons, that we can work with what are those reasons that are making you feel insecure. Mm-hmm. And then build upon those. And I view things very much from a strength-based perspective. Yeah. So it's okay if you're seeing this is working in this relationship. How do you suppose we could use this in this relationship? So we're already using things that they're feeling good in different scenarios. How do we transfer it to others?
And I love like what you're talking about, getting secure with ourselves first, because in terms of not being non-monogamous, or if somebody wants to call it, if we're not open about it and setting down rules, then we're calling it cheating. And so it's, what am I avoiding in my own relationship? That's, or am I avoiding something in my own relationship that I'm trying to seek elsewhere because I have an avoidant attachment style, or I have an anxious attachment style? So I'm constantly looking for my partner to fulfill some need in me. And so now I'm going to step outside of the relationship to get that from somebody else, but it's not really supporting me being secure within myself. It's just playing it out in just in a different scenario or with a different person.
Yeah. And this sense of noticing where things are like struggles and trying to figure out how do we shift those, or really doing this like unlearning around monogamy and this deconstructing. Like, I like to call these growing pains, because it's really challenging a lot of stuff, right? And it can be challenging a lot of things that are maybe deep in our subconscious because we've been indoctrinated with them since we were a kid. And so we're now stirring that pot up a bit, and it's uncomfy and it hurts and it can suck and it can be painful. And so they're like growing pains because we're doing this work to challenge some of these ideas, some of these notions, to say, oh, maybe I'm anxious to this person or whatever. And we're now trying to say, like, how do I take all this stuff that I've stirred up and move forward with it and mm-hmm. grow from it? So I like to think mm-hmm. of them as growing pains.
Yeah. And also getting, regardless of what kind of attachment system that we grew up with, becoming more secure within ourselves, or if you grow up with any kind of insecure attachment style, we're working towards what we call earned secure attachment. And so the more that we become more securely attached within ourselves, then we can have a greater understanding of what is leading me towards wanting a non-monogamous lifestyle, as opposed to trying to search out from somebody else to give us something that is really playing into our attachment style, as opposed to, I'm actually very securely attached and I know that I need certain needs met, and it's coming from a more secure, grounded place and not from a place where I need somebody to validate me all the time.
Yeah. And not having to rely upon the structure of that relationship to provide that security mm-hmm. that we then like inherently, like organically build that security and that safety.
Yeah. How did you know that monogamy wasn't for you?
I was introduced to the concept of polyamory when I was like 19. And the person who introduced it to me was like a friend of mine. And they just explained it as like the ability to like love more than one person. Mm. And it just resonated with me.
Mm-hmm.
And through that and connecting with different communities, it just began to make more and more sense. And I early on found myself in a very interconnected chosen family that was like incredibly supportive and encouraging. It wasn't all good at the time, but it really, because I was introduced to the concept when I was much younger, I think it just really helped cement this idea that we can really build whatever relationships we want to.
I love that. It's so proactive.
Yeah. And I'm so grateful that I was introduced to this concept so early on, because I now have a beautiful network of a poly family that's still in Canada. And I have really robust and beautiful network of chosen family in Berlin. And I put just as much value in those relationships as I do with my nesting partner.
Yeah.
Because they can hold us when we need to be held. Mm. They create that sense of community and connection so that we don't just have to rely on one person.
Yeah. Yeah. Ugh, that's such a beautiful way to end this podcast. So how can people find you if they want to explore this concept of non-monogamy or deconstructing monogamy?
Yeah, so my website is just christiandocounseling.com. And I have it with two L's, actually. The
I'll put that in the show notes.
Canadian spelling.
Oh, of counseling.
Yeah. So you can reach out to me there. I'm also on Instagram with the same spelling. So always welcome email, or I also have a calendar link on my website where you can just book an initial session directly and have a free chat to get to know one another.
Thank you so much for being a part of this community and sharing your passion around it and really opening up more possibilities for people and doing it in such a non-judgmental, non-shaming way.
Yeah, thank you for having me have this conversation. It's been really lovely.
Thank you. So I will have all of Sadie's information in the show notes, and you can always DM me on Instagram at Mary B Therapy or reach out to me on my website, marybtherapy.com. And thanks for listening.